we give God all praise and honor, and we welcome you in the name of his son Jesus to another Sabbath day, a day that he has made and that we are to rejoice and be glad therein. The scripture says that this is a day he set aside for us to rest and to meditate on his word. And so with that, we'll get started. If Deaconess Freeman would lead us in prayer.
Let us bow our heads. Lord Jesus, may your Holy Spirit surround us this morning as we once again come together to worship your holy name. We thank you, Lord, for another day to serve you and for your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. We are so thankful, Lord, that you have allowed us to awaken this morning with minds and hearts that know you, and also for empowering us to take a bold stand against the enemy and his schemes against us, our family, and the Word of God Church. We pray that you help each of us grow closer to you. Thank you. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
No? I'm sorry. I've got a lot of interruptions. Thank you for giving us direction and hope as we go through our trials and tribulations in this world. Tribulation, Lord, because they help us to grow and mature in you and help us to learn to put our trust in you more and more.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we know that you use challenges and adversities to test our faith, our obedience, and our reliance on you. James 1, 2 to 8 say we will encounter trials and tribulation and should rely on you to help us overcome them. Let us always thank you for them, dear Lord.
Anyone still there?
Corbin's are still here.
Dee and Chip, are y'all still there?
I am.
All right, then that's on Priscilla's end. Okay. Priscilla? All right, welcome to Word of God Church and Julia C. Freeman Senior Outreach Ministry Worship Service. Who just joined us? Whoever, we welcome you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. We're in the process of resuming with our prayer. We had a disconnect. Just bear with us. In the church, while we're waiting, the devil is a liar. And all we of faith have to do is just stand strong and firm in God's word. Don't go by what you see. Amen.
Amen.
We walk by faith, and faith tells us that the Lord is with us. Deacon Freeman.
Father, we ask for forgiveness if we have done or say anything to give someone pain. Pardon any unkind word, Lord, or impatient gesture we have committed. Lord, forgive us if we have missed an opportunity to show kindness or help someone in need. Let us never forget that it's our call to help lessen someone else's sorrow and add to their happiness, just as your Son, Jesus Christ, did for us. We ask you to bless Heavenly Father, the Word of God Church, and the Julius C. Freeman Senior Outreach Ministries, a gift of your Father. Give us the courage and the strength and the confidence to do whatever is necessary to spread the good news and bring honor and glory to your name.
Yes.
Pray that we do your will and be obedient servants, Father. Help us to keep our armor well oiled. Because we know that our faith is constantly under attack, and we must constantly defend it. Lord, help us to stay focused on you and remove any distractions that prevents us from running the race of life that you meant for us to run. Hebrews 12:1 says, let us run the race that is before us and never give up. We have to and we should remove from our lives anything that gets in the way that holds us back. Lord, we ask that you remove those things that hold us back from finishing the race, such as guilt, resentment, shame, bitterness, past hurt, unforgiving nature, and bad decisions that we make.
Well,
Lord, continue to bless Bishop Cuff with wisdom and knowledge. We pray that you continue to guide, to anoint, and protect him from all the challenges he will face because of his love for you. We know that the strength of the Word of God Church and the Julius C. Freeman Senior Outreach Ministries rests on all the saints' prayers and supplication.
Amen.
His wife, the Lord, and thank you for giving her a loving, gentle spirit and an open, kind heart. Lord, continue to fill both of them with your grace and with your peace. We pray for our soldiers, Father, especially for our brother Joseph.
Yes.
Letting him and his comrades know that you love them and only a prayer away. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for strengthening and giving hope to those who are weary and tired. Lord, thank you for hearing our prayers and for giving us direction and guidance. Please manifest yourself to this morning, the Father, in ways that we have never experienced, and allow our joys to be fulfilled and our prayers answered. We pray for your grace and for your mercy. All this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. We give God the glory this morning. Deaconess Freeman, we thank you for your faithfulness. You see, what we have to always do is we don't walk by what we see. And when we walk up against something that is sighted, we must always approach it from a spiritual realm. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
You see, this technology is being used to uplift the kingdom of God here on earth. And every once in a while, we get a little niche in there. And so what we have to do is be strong in the Lord and do what we did. Just go back where we stopped. Always be flat-footed, standing firm on God's word. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Those who just joined us, we greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, the one that is and the one that is to come. For he has awakened us this morning. We all should be thankful and grateful that he did not let us end our journey last night.
Amen.
Because in case we were not in the right frame with him, we have another day. Can I get a
Amen.
Witness? We have one more chance to get it right by his mercy and grace. One more chance to get our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Come on, somebody. One more time to stand before him and humbly acknowledge that he is our Lord and our Savior. He's our King. He's our peace. He's our joy. He's our hope. Can I get a witness?
Yes. Thank you.
So I don't know about you this morning, but I'm thankful to be alive and thankful to be able to call the name of Jesus, to be able to scream it from the highest level down to the deepest of the pits. God sent his son Jesus into this world because he loved us so that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but shall have everlasting life. And so with that, we greet you this morning, all who have come, all Word of God Church members and all who joined us. And we pray that the number will increase as God so allows it to. Amen?
Amen.
So as we start this journey this morning, I want you to have hope in your heart and peace on your mind. Can somebody tell me what was the title of the last Sunday service besides Connie?
Let not your heart be troubled.
Yes, I'm not trying to run a test on you, but indirectly I am. You see, you can't look in the mirror and then walk away and forget what you saw. You see, that's what happened to me when I was young, and then I finally realized when I looked in a three-sided mirror that the back of my head was flat as a pancake. You got to always be able to remember what you saw. And the scripture says, let not your hearts be troubled. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
No weapon formed against us shall prosper. No tongue that lifts itself up against the righteous one shall stand. And we who are believers must stand flat-footed on God's word. Amen?
Amen.
This morning I want to take you on the other side of where you were last week. I found with great interest that we sent out, I think, 23 CDs. We give God the glory for that. And we will attempt to, on Monday, send the CDs out. And as you add people, we have one trustee, Mimi, sent us a name and will be added and sent out this week. And then our goal is to get as many of these out to help people. I sent one to my sister, and I think I mentioned to before she can't get down the steps in her basement office to get her CD, the recording. And so we always have to be mindful that everybody doesn't have a computer. Amen?
Amen.
And so we can't necessarily get to the Word of God Church and Julius C. Freeman Senior Outreach Ministry website where they can hear the recordings. But at the same token, they have an option, and actually there's another option, not to go into it now, but they can actually call into a number and hear the recording. And I'll start putting that number on so that they can have that option as well. This morning, I want to draw your attention to Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, and 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. For those of you who are taking notes, the title of this sermon is Living in Christ. And the primary text is coming from Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. Colossians 3, 1 through 11 reads as follows. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Amen. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Hallelujah. Put to death, therefore. Remember that word, therefore? Whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurities, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You need to underline that. The wrath of God is coming. Verse 7, you used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived, thank you, Lord. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these, anger and rage and malice and slander and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of the Creator. Let me repeat that. Your new self is being renewed in knowledge.
Amen.
In the image of the Creator. Here there is no Greek and or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Did you hear that, church?
Amen.
He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will always provide a way out so that you can stand under it. So we ask God's blessing of his word be on you who hear, that we may heed his word while there is still light. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
This morning, church, I want to really try to hone in on this text. But I want to give you a couple points to help you in your theologian and theology growth. Paul's writings are very significant. His theology always is followed by a call to live it out. You need to make a note of that. Whenever you read Paul's writings, you're going to always have a doctrinal part of it, and then you're going to have a practical part of it. And so to be deceived, you should always be looking for that. For example, in the book of Ephesians, the first three chapters are given to highest theology, only to be followed with a practical call in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, that says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. See, church, this call introduces the remainder of the book. Similarly, in Romans chapter 1 through 11, which all of us who attend Bible study regularly should clearly understand this, that in Romans chapter 1, verse chapter 1 through 11 culminates in this great doxology. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Romans chapter 11, verse 36. This is followed by the most practical, and you should know it by now. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. We have been studying this, and we are, in fact, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 right now. We have the same thing in Colossians this morning, church, where the sublime theory of chapter 1 and 2 spurs the challenge to chapter 3, verse 5. Put to death, therefore, there's that word, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. For Paul, doctrine demands duty. You need to make a note. It is a demand when you get doctrinal guidance or teachings. It's demanding that you take charge, that you have responsibility to change. This is not a spectator religion. This is a religion of action. Most of us sit up in churches and hear sermons and go out, and we don't do no more than we did when we came in. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Stop off our offering, and then we go on our merry way. I stop by to tell you that you will not get in the kingdom under those points of view. You must listen for the teachings, and then you must heed the teachings and obey them. As I gave you in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, there is no temptation that is common to man that you and I can't overcome. God has not laid this scripture out where you can be tempted beyond what you can overcome. And if the doctrine is there, then you and I must take the practical side and make it a reality for our life. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Paul again gives us the doctoral demand us to have duty toward it. This creed determines conduct, and facts demand action. You see, church, we must change our conduct so long so that we no longer following this earthly realm. We have moved into the spiritual realm where God sits on the throne. He puts out power to us through his Holy Spirit that we can walk in a newness of life. Can I get a witness? No true believer walks still in darkness, for we have been raised with Christ from darkness to his marvelous light. So don't deceive yourself. Don't let people fool you with this notion that you can be all that God wants you to be. You might not be able to do it in the army, but I submit to you that whatever God says, it's so. It's something that we who believe can do, not by our power, but by his power.
Amen.
By the presence and the indwelling of his Holy Spirit. I find it disturbing that I constantly hear people make statements like, well, you know, this is a new day and ain't nobody virgins no more. I mean, come on now, get real. No, you get real. My Father's word never changes. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. If you're going out doing the things that are contrary to his word, you're sinning against God, and you will stand accountable for it. Help me, lights. You're being deceived by this kingdom, to make the assumption that because you see ungodliness and see unholiness, that that is the norm. It is abnormal for a child of the King to act like the devil. The devil and light have no relationship. Can I get a witness? If you're looking for a devil to have on a red cape and a red tail and red shoes, and yeah, you do see a lot of that running around, but I submit to you that the devil is real.
Amen.
And Christ and Jesus and the Holy Spirit have all power in their unchanging hands, and that power has been transmitted to us.
Amen.
And so we don't have to walk around living in sin. Oh, y'all come on, walk with me now.
Amen.
You do not have to be ungodly. You're ungodly because you want to be. We have the power to live godly and righteous lives in spite of what you see around you. The Bible said 10,000 will fall at your feet, and nine will come thy way. It's no difference if you see the whole world is corrupt. That ain't your problem. That's their problem. We belong to the one who gave us life eternally.
Amen.
I stopped by to tell you, we got to start acting like it. You can't get away with sitting up here on Sunday morning and go back out and cuss everybody that comes in your path out and sleep around and steal and have lust for money and greed. Listen at me. You will not be able to make this statement, let not your hearts be troubled, if you're not living a godly life, because your heart could be troubled. It's going to be full of trouble. And I would be remiss if I didn't bring back the other side of this story. It's always good to know that we don't have to be troubled. But that comes with a price. The price is righteous living. We must be holy people. We cannot be like the world. The world is corrupt. Everything around us is corrupt. And that's why the Bible says we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. We walk by sight. I'd walk outside with no clothes on, walk up down the street. Listen to me. Don't go by what you can see. What you see is temporal. But God's word is everlasting. It'll be here after all this has passed away. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And if we fill our hearts with it and then do like Paul is laying out, you not only have to know the doctrine or the teachings, you must practice them. You have no way out. Church of the day is apostate church. We sit up in churches where the pastor's gay and his assistants are gay, and they're running with each other, and they're doing all kinds of this and that. And then we claim that to be okay. You don't really know for sure. You're right. But the Bible gives us a discerning spirit. I know a gay one when I see one. Give me a break. If you sit up there and your arms dangling over the pulpit and your fingers are shiny like a lady who just left the beauty parlor, you got a problem. And you might as well say amen.
Amen.
If your choir director looks better than you do, you got a problem. Sit up in these churches that I pray God's mercy on you. And this is going as a part of this tape. It's not going to Word of God church people. Because if you were able to see me, you'd see that my arms are ashy. And my fingernails are all cut all kinds of which way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not here trying to impress you with my appearance. I've been lost at. But I do have something that no one can take away from me, the anointing power of the Most High God. And he has called me to preach this gospel to you, simple, plain, and true. And I don't care if I got sweatpants on or no pants. The word of God will not change.
Amen.
For those who believe God's word, they don't look at this outside exterior, this facade, this phonyism. God doesn't judge the outside. He looks at the inside of man.
Yeah.
He doesn't judge at your buildings you build up and have all the fame and the latest things in it, including a cafeteria and a religious jazz festival on Friday night. God's looking at your souls, I tell you. And you'll stand accountable for every word and every deed and every thought that you ever had and will have. That's outside of his will. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
See, the problem we face is these words are similar in the shade of what we face today. What we read in this text is the same thing that we face today. So I will carefully try to make some distinctions. Are you ready?
Amen.
Immorality. It's a Greek word. It basically, well, let me give you what it is. Pornoi, which is the word from which we get our word pornography. This word refers to a sexual relationship outside of the context of marriage. Let me go slow so nobody don't miss this. Any sex you have outside of marriage, it's outside of the context of what God says sex is supposed to be.
Amen.
Somebody should be able to say amen.
Amen.
And so you make no mistake about it. The first person you sleep with that you're not married to, you have married them. You have defiled your bed, but you aren't married to them. And so when they go from the next to the next, you are in fact aiding them. And being ungodly. But see, we didn't got so far apart about that. Well, you know, you have to test the merchandise. Listen at me. You can test it in hell.
Amen.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. The Bible said that this word won't come back void. Stones will cry out. For God's word is true. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And sin is sin. And we who are God's people must change and practice rightful and holy and righteous living. Listen to me. I am not concerned about trying to appease people with itching ears. I'm concerned about our souls, church. I'm concerned about us making it into the kingdom. I would not be sitting here if I did not have that desire and burning in my heart that none of us should perish. But we also have eternal life because we're going to be as God has called us to be, his children. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
I also realize that any message about the sex purity before marriage may meet with some cynicism or some snickering that the bishop, he'd have gone too far. That, you know, that might have been back in your day. And, well, I'm going to stop by to tell you one in my day. And it wasn't in nobody's day. Let me tell you why. Because sin is sin. Until you become righteous and godly, you are sinning. It ain't about hormones. You know what you can do with hormones? You can lock it up, or you can let it send you straight to hell, or either make hell here on earth with AIDS.
Amen.
We don't like statistics, but I've stopped by to tell you that in our community, AIDS is running rampant. If I was a female, you wouldn't get within 10 feet of me. Oh, come on, somebody. If you want to act like a dog, go out there and get you a German Shepherd. You will not give AIDS to me. And the only way you stop it is have abstinence. That word's very used, smallly used. Listen at me. Do what God said and he'll bless you. Do not do what he said and you'll be cursed. I'll stop by to tell you. I remember many years ago, a sister in Word of God Church got offended. That was 15, 18 years ago when I said the words I just said. God rest her soul. She's gone now. But you know what? I can look back. You know, sometimes you have to let things play out. I can look back now and see today that those words, if they had been heeded, might have helped her children. You see, I'm not here on no gain and no ego trip. I'm here to serve you by letting you know who Christ is and how he loves us so. But he requires us to do what he says to do. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
You see, our Bible is clear about this matter of sex. It's only right in marriage. It's almost unbelievable how we've turned that around.
Amen.
We'd have made marriage some kind of weird thing. Oh, y'all, come on with me.
Amen.
We'd have took our women, the beauty of a woman, and brought it down to a Bobby doll. The less clothes you have on, the better off you are. I'd stop by and tell you that's a recipe for hell. And any young man who has a father needs to educate them. You need to look for a godly woman. And I know, sisters, it's hard when you're trying to live right and all these guys out here want you to do is what's wrong. Stand. When all else fails, stand. Help me, lights.
Amen.
Our women have to talk to our young ladies and tell them, forget about the birds and the bees. Tell them about Jesus and what he teaches.
Amen.
The birds and the bees don't work. I call myself bird and being. What the birds and bees don't work. Get that out of your head.
Amen.
But Jesus' word is powerful. It is awesome. It is able to cut to the marrow of things.
Yes.
Tell you like I told the brothers in my prison ministry. And I told you this before when the one brother was getting out at midnight and asked me, he said, Bishop Cuff, I've been sitting up under you for 8 or 10 months. But my girlfriend's sitting outside because at 12 midnight they let you out. And she's got it all planned out where we're going. Heartbreak Motel. Listen at me. I'll tell you what I told him. You start praying before you ever that gate opens to let you out. You pray that God gives you the words to tell her not tonight. Listen at me. And if we go to the hotel, the Gideon Bible is the only thing that's going to be opening up here. Listen at me. That sounds foreign to our ears today, but it is the truth. It's the unadulterated, godly truth. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
We're paying for these things that we're doing outside of God's will.
Amen.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 through 7 says, it is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable and not in passionate lust like the heathens who do not know God, and that in the matter no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish man for all such sins. As we have already told you and warned you, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. So few preachers talk about holiness that we don't even know what it is to live a holy life. Next area is this word impurity. I pray you're taking notes. What causes immoral behavior? Listen, impurity does. This is a wild and more subtle than a physical immorality. It involves our imagination and our speech. Now, I'm going to work this one. This is what immediately precedes immorality. It's what we think, our imaginations. I've talked to you and ministered to you on this imagination. Can I preach this morning?
Amen.
The immorality is the act, but impurity is the thought, church. You see, it starts with our thoughts. Let me elaborate on this a little bit. I remember when I worked at the ungodly Bank of America. That building had somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,200 people worked in there. And the guys would sit down in the cafeteria. Yes, they sit at some of them at the table I was sitting at. And their conversation would always be around, boy, she sure look good. Come on, somebody. And you know what? One of the things I found that I believe women a lot of times dress because they want that They are ungodly, and the one that's sitting up there imagining things is ungodly. Listen at me. It starts with the thought. And then we carry that thought out. But I'm talking about, I love you, baby. Yeah, I love you, all right. But I don't love to pay your bills. And I don't love to take care of your babies. Oh, y'all come on with me. Come on now. We got some sad statistics working against us. We got most of our households are headed by women and no man in sight until a check comes. Y'all come on with me now. You see, that imagination has turned to some impure thoughts that are now leading us astray, where there are two and three and four generations of women raising babies and no men in the house. It's gotten so bad that our boys have taken on roles that are ungodly roles. Now, y'all walk with me now. Connie mentioned to me that she saw this gentleman that's on TV, Williams, that the guy had the show. What's his name? Martell Williams. He got two earrings, a big one and a little one in his right or left ear. Yep. You see, when I grew up as a man, to put an earring in your mean meant that you was something wrong with you. Come on, somebody. Somebody can bear witness to that. Mm-hmm. Now we got our boys walking around with diamond earrings. Actually, they're not diamond. They're fake. Because if they got diamond earrings, then they should be able to take care of them babies they got out there. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
See, if I was a young lady, you come up here with this fake diamond. See, back in my day, you couldn't get away with that. You couldn't get away with that. You see, if I tried to take Connie out, I ain't got no money, and ask her to pay for my movie fare, that would have been a serious mistake. I better not only have the movie money, I better have a hoagie and a cookie money.
Amen.
Stand women today, ladies. I tell that scoundrel, when you go get a job and a car, don't come riding up in my house on some bicycle. Talk about let's go. You see, all that's come about because we've been ungodly. We've lowered standards down to where we don't have none now.
Amen.
Y'all might as well say amen.
Amen.
Impurity. It starts with the act, and then we decide to take it to fruition. It starts with the thought, and then we want to move past the thought. And by the way, it does not exclude old people and old men.
Amen.
My wife said amen. I agree with her. The old men are some of the most disgusting squirrels running around. You go to the VA hospital. If you want to get a lesson in old men, go to the hospital, VA hospital. They're sitting up there with their shirts all open, gold chains on. And I'll call it must today. I'll leave Old Spice alone today. With must on, walk around trying to talk to the young girl. You know what? That's a thought that they carried over from when they were a young man. They didn't do nothing then. Now they got a limp with their little stroll. How you going to talk to somebody and you limping all the way down the aisle, walking in, now you do a stroll for two steps.
Amen.
It's all because of ungodliness. Instead of sitting down, letting your blood pressure go down so when they take it, they don't have to up your medicine no more. They're going, oh, my blood pressure. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you're, oh, my goodness, nothing. If you just sit down there and act like you're supposed to act, You would have been normal when you went in there.
Amen.
Lust is the next one you need to take a note of. This is a great desire or longing for which that which is sinful. Did you get that? You see, this desire, we're back to the thoughts. And see, we it's our natural nature to want to go this route. If you find yourself craving someone in a sexual way that is not your spouse, that's lust. And lust is characterized often by seeing people as objects for your own personal enjoyment rather than as a people. Men, young boys, fathers, teach your sons to look at women like they look at their mother. I can't believe I don't have no amens.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, lights.
Amen.
Not to look upon our women as some sex object, because that's not how God created us. I don't care how they portray us on BET. God gave us a spirit of kinship with him. And not all our women run around looking like they ain't got good sense, carrying buffalo butts up and down the street with G-strings. Not all of us are like that. And I come by to tell you that God is watching every one of us.
Amen. Amen.
If you call yourself a child of the king, we need to have clothes on and look like godly people.
Amen.
I'm not suggesting you have to get all dressed up, because that's the other extreme. But you got to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. You know what right is and what wrong is.
Yes.
You know if a man's looking at you in a lustful way, you can control that. I hear people talking about, well, I don't know why he keep messing with me. He's messing with you because you're allowing it.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
One thing I say about black women, you step out of line with them, they'll get you straight.
Mm.
But nobody fool you. He keeps buying me presents. He's buying you presents because you want presents.
Mm-hmm.
I know some women, you come up on them, you'll wish you came up on a Mack truck.
Amen.
Priscilla Freeman's one, by the way. That's her. Because, see, these people out here, they think, you know, your circumstance change, they just think, oh, that's easy prey. If you're God's child, let them know.
Amen.
Not today.
Amen.
Don't even think so.
Amen. Amen.
That's how God works. He teaches us. We go from the teachings to the practical side. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
So as we move, keep this thought in mind, lustfulness, that we act like dogs. We're no dogs. Dogs work on instincts. They jump from one dog to the next dog. Come on with me.
Ooh, amen.
I prayed one day that our women will get back to how it was when I was a young man. If Connie had got even a slight whiff that I was seeing somebody else, it would have been all over. Oh, come on, Sister Freeman and Sister Corbin.
Amen.
Amen.
They didn't play that back then. You come up here talking about, I broke up with her. You might as well go on back with her. Or you will come over here now because you done broke up with her. We done gone down a slippery slope, church, that only God can get us from under.
Yeah.
Next subject is evil desires. You see, lusting for obviously an evil desire. However, it seems that we are talking about desires which lead us to look for greater thrills. And so we it ain't bad enough that the Lord lusting after woman, so we're going to lust after both, women and men. I talked to you about this downloading. You see, that's evil desire. You're taking it even further. You take it out of the realm of reality, and now you go come up with your own creativity. Your own demon, demonic thoughts have led you down a path. Romans chapter 1 says that he'll let you go, and when you go, you will know that you're who you are. It's grossly out of line. I had a friend who's deceased. This is not too far from here. I used to work with him. God rest his soul. But he was perverted. He came over the house one day, you know, because I worked my alarm business from the home. And when he, and it's funny how God brings these things back to you. He come in the house and, Cuff, where your DVD, not DVD, what's that other thing with the box? VCR. And he put the VCR up. Man, look at it. I want you to see this, man. And he put on this perverted stuff. Of course, I got scared because Connie could have came in the door any time. That would have been it for me. But as I was working on this sermon, I thought about him, how he was perverse. You see, let me help you with that. When you have the desires to go get magazines that you have to hide in the trunk of your car or videos that you have to have locked up, you are in a evil desire. You see, your desires to play with fire have increased. That leads you to pornography. If you get on the internet and you just can't wait to get on there, listen to me. Watch your internet service. Mm-hmm. Women, watch when your husband sits in there in the wee hours of the morning.
Amen.
Oh, y'all might as well say amen.
Amen.
When you don't hear nothing is quiet in there. Or when your children up there. Listen at me. You and I have to help each other.
Amen.
You don't enable somebody.
Amen.
So in case you don't know how to do it, go to their favorites and just click on their favorites. Uh-huh. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Look at their favorites and see what it is that they keep going back to. Oh, man, it's getting awful quiet up in here.
Amen.
God has called us to be holy people. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
You see, listen to me. We can't play a game. This is not a game. God sees every move we make.
Yes.
Amen.
And let me give you some peace. You don't have to have a whole lot of time trying to check up on this and go on to all these things. First of all, a discerning spirit will tell you when something's wrong. Can I get a witness from the ladies?
Yeah.
Amen.
You know when something ain't right.
Yeah.
You see, I normally have on sweatpants and sweatshirts and my sneakers. Now just visualize this. I get up in the morning and get all showered down and put me on a nice suit and tell Connie I'm going to walk to the mall. I'll be back shortly. I wouldn't get too far. But Detective Cowens would be on my case.
She got to drive.
Yeah. Bree said she got to drive. I can still drive right now, but it won't be long if it is. But I say, I ain't got no problem. Unless it don't come up in my windowsill, it ain't going to do me no good. Do y'all get the message?
Yes.
Amen.
That if you find yourself craving for these things, turn them off. Burn them up. Tear them down. The Bible said it's better that you limp into heaven with one leg and one eye and to go to hell.
Yeah.
Amen.
I want to turn to another subject, greed.
Yeah.
It may seem strange to you that greed is included in all these things. You know, you might say, well, greed ain't got nothing to do with all those. Yes, it does. But in reality, it is the core ingredient for lust and immorality. You didn't know that, did you? Greed is the core. Greed is the desire to have something another possesses. In other words, it is a dissatisfaction with what God has given you. Can I get a witness? You see, when you start getting to the point where you got to have what your neighbor got, you know the old Jones syndrome. first house that Connie and I were blessed to be buying, one neighbor got a driveway put in. And by Friday, every house on the block had a driveway put in.
Amen.
That's the drone syndrome. All of us got to have a driveway. You're not going to outdo me. I'm going to get a cement one. I'm going to get one that's colored with colored stones in it. It got to the point where it was ridiculous. But before Friday, every house on our block had a driveway. And if they didn't, they had already dug it and just had to put the whatever the topping was on it. In other words, church, it is essential that we believe that what we have from God is what he wants us to have.
Amen.
Can I get a witness?
Amen.
I find with great interest that Connie and I drive cars that are paid for.
Amen.
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 You see, I could go out here and get another car or try to get another car. I know a lot of retirees, they just buy the best. They drive the biggest and best. They got an image they got to keep up.
Amen.
All I got to do is get to the grocery store and to the mall and back.
Amen.
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 It's a good feeling to have contentment with what God has given me.
Amen.
I know people who get all this junk and then got to work up. Well, I got one friend. She works three jobs, plus she's retired. You see, if I got to do all that to drive a Mercedes and walk around all this fancy clothes on and stuff, give me my sweatpants.
Amen.
From king size. See, I don't even buy no clothes out here. Sure, I get mine from king size online. All my stuff is made in Russia and other places, and it lasts forever. And I get in my car, and I ride down the street. You can ride up with those fancy cars alongside of me and these big fancy trucks. You know what I see? Gas. At $4 a gallon.
Ooh, amen.
Can you visualize that? You got a car payment, you got insurance that they keep raising, and gas, that nasty three-letter word that's creeping up to $4. I am content. Connie loves her little green car.
Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes she'd take out of here heading somewhere with a little bit of change. She'd go around the corner on two wheels. And Lord Jesus, that car is old. Please let her slow down. See, the secret is accept where God has you at and be grateful and thankful. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Connie and I had this desire to go live next to a golf course. And you know, my business partners, you know, they have class and they talk about what you can perceive and what you think about becomes the reality. So I put this vision in my thoughts. You hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
About the golf course house. And they said, go out there and look at them. So I drove out there with Connie, and we went around there, about five or six of them around there for sale. And we looked at some, and all I was sitting up here visualizing, I can sit here and meditate and do my Bible study watching these trees and the golf course.
Amen.
But what brought me to reality was that those houses cost, some case, $150,000 more than this one I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
Listen at me. Sometimes you got to take what God gives you and be grateful and thankful. This house is starting to look real good to me.
Amen.
And I can put a miniature golf course in the backyard.
Amen.
I like my freedom that I can get up when I get ready to. I can go walking, do what I want to do. You can get so far in debt that you don't know one end from the other. Can I get a witness?
Amen. Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
And the Father does not want us stressed out over this material things in this kingdom. He wants us to be at peace and have joy and happiness. You see how it works, church?
Amen.
Contentment is next to godliness. Don't let this world entrap you. It'll make situations for you that you cannot overcome. It's amazing how the human capacity for self-indulgence and sexual pleasures continue to this day. But I know the Bible carries Christians and orders and directions to walk in a different way of life. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
We must be serious about this matter. You know, I know if you look at the television, everything I've told you this morning is contradicted. Somebody should say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Everything you see on TV is contrary to what I've spoke to you about this morning. You see, the TV has every sexual deviant thought to get you to buy a product. I mean, how do you do it with toothpaste and with cars and car washes? It's unbelievable. And they push the limits every day.
Every day.
You see it in literature and the little bit of reading that we do. You see it on cable television real bad. All day. You see, this is a deep-seated, rooted problem. And so, you know, listen to what Solomon said when he spoke with great wisdom. Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burnt? You might want to write Proverbs 6:27 down. Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothing burned? Solomon's point is clear, church. You cannot ignore God's standards without paying a price. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Just for a minute, let's think about the cost. We don't have much longer to go. Think about the cost. Broken homes. In some areas of Richmond, 76% of the homes have only women heading them in most parts of our community. Erosion of the trust in marriage. We got a 58% divorce rate in this country. Loss of specialness of a sexual unity. It's now a dog act, not a love act. It's not a commitment. Oh, y'all, come on, you might as well say amen.
Amen.
Something that God has made sacred, we have turned it into a dog show. And then we use the cheap, ungodly, and cowardly excuse that everybody's doing it, and everybody going to hell. Superficial relationships. You know, I know when I was a child, I'd tell people, Connie's my girlfriend. Does anybody else remember that? What do they say now? We just friends. You can't commit to nothing. We just friends. Oh, she's not. I said my girlfriend. That's my friend. Sexual diseases. I'm sure you're aware that it's off the charts in the black community. We're running into a terrible situation where our women are being infected because of these downloaders, uploading jailbirds who go out and come out, and they don't have no more knowledge or respect for our women than to do what they ought not to do.
Amen.
I caution you to watch who you let kiss your children. Oh, y'all might as well say amen.
Amen.
I heard somebody the other day said that he don't shake hands with people. And that's not a bad practice. Me and Connie keep top care. Hand sanitizer. This is a rough world out here. The violence of rape and incest is out, unbelievable. Increase in the rate of aborted children. You know, I don't have much use for the evangelical right that the only thing you ever hear them speak about is abortion. But I do give them credit because that is a problem. They just forget all the other problems that I've just described to you. And the main one is that we ought to love our brothers. No one can be a child of the king and only have one color. Can I get a witness? Because they're going to be in for a rude awakening when they get into the kingdom. Church, we must work hard to focus on the purity that the Bible demands of us. You see, every time we start going astray, you know, you might not be able to see it, but if you really think about it, the Bible is so accurate. You reap what you sow. Now, I don't live long enough to see it. You see, I know people now that when Connie and I were young, they were out having a good time, and Connie was sitting here raising three children. And 45 years later, Connie's sitting here, and they object to it. You got it made. Yeah. You got it made. Can anybody bear witness to that? Well, you partied your life away. Now you want me to get out of my bed and come out of my house and bring you cigarettes and something to eat. You got to be kidding.
Come on. Amen.
Amen.
You reaped what you sowed. Use my mother, God rest her soul, as an example. You see, I don't call no punches. I call them like I see them. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And my aunt. And I'm going to mail her this tape. And you can listen at it if you want to or you don't. But the truth, it will be the truth until our Lord comes back. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Listen at this. My mother had me when she was young and dished me, gave me up, threw me to the curb. Then she had my brother, my half-brother. And then she had two twins. She was in the process of having them. When at the tender age of 26-ish, she died in childbirth. While I was writing this sermon, it brought tears to my eyes to think about all that. But my God is a good God, and his word is true. You do sometimes reap what you sow. I don't know if that's the case, but I do know that you do reap what you sow. You see, what you do when you're young can come back to haunt you when you get old.
Amen.
It's ungodly. And I submit to you that wherever your station is in life, you and I must live godly lives. See, this classic Bible example is in Joseph. He was, you remember Joseph when he had the situation with Potiphar? Let me refresh your memory since you want to hear. He was serving in the official household of Potiphar. You remember that's the name Potiphar, right?
Amen.
Potiphar, all right. I knew my scribe would get me straight. It's Potiphar. And he was seen as a faithful servant, and therefore he was given great authority in Potiphar's house. I forget the PF sound.
Potiphar.
Go ahead, dear. That's what I'm talking. Well, every time I get ready to say Potiphar, I'm going to let you say it. I got that part right. Now, listen at me closely. Now, here's what happened. This is
Potiphar.
But Joseph was quite the hunk. She gave him all kinds of subtle signals that she was interested in a relationship with Joseph. Isn't that how it goes?
Mm.
Those little eye looks.
Mm.
You see, that's why the Muslims don't allow their women to look on a man.
Amen.
Yeah, come on, y'all. Somebody bear witness. You can look at a woman and they'll send signals.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, dude. That's why Muslim women can't look on a man. They got to drop their head. Not our women. Hi. You see, Joseph resisted her. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
One day, however, Mrs.
Potiphar
threw herself at Joseph. Joseph could have said, who would know? But he knew that God would know.
Amen.
So that he knew God was watching. You see, we walk around doing all kind of mess and don't think God sees what we do.
Amen.
You know, I got to stop for a minute. I got to tell you a story.
Tell a story.
Let me tell you, now I'll go back to Potiphar, whatever his name is.
God knows.
That's right. Listen to me. I had something strange to happen the other day, and I'm going to try to make this as generic as I can, but it proves a very important point. Somebody the other day dialed my office number, and they didn't dial it. It was accidentally dialed. I believe it was divinely dialed. And all Connie and I, when I checked it, all I could hear was sound like somebody was in trouble. And so I listened real close, and then I start calling my family members here to make sure that somebody wasn't being chased down or dropped. If you know how people get in trouble and they open their cell phone up.
Amen.
And then I called everybody. Well, we fine. Jerry's fine. And then I just dropped it, but my spirit wouldn't let me rest with it. I dialed it back in, and I put it back in there. And this time, I listened completely. Now, suffice it for me to say that what I heard the rest of the way was disturbing to me. It was terribly disturbing to me. Because I heard something I never thought I would hear in 1,000 years. And so I'm telling you, church, you never know who hears or sees what you do.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And not only that, what's more important, God does not miss a thing.
Amen.
And I believe God let me hear that to preach this sermon. He sends messengers and circumstances. The person who was doing what they shouldn't have been doing will never know that I know. But I know, and God knows. And my advice and prayers to you is we must always watch what we do and what we say. We are children of the Most High God, and He watches us.
Amen.
And He will expose us.
Mm-hmm.
Back to Potiphar.
Potiphar.
He knew God was watching. He also knew that Potiphar. We leave it Potiphar. Trusted him. So, you see, that's another problem. You see, we used to be able to leave our buddies with our wives because we knew that we could trust them. Yeah, that's right. You can't do it now.
Amen.
Amen.
We should be able to do it. If we're godly people, we should be able to trust any other Christian with our loved one. We can't even trust each other with our children. Y'all might as well say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Potiphar trusted. Joseph trusted and respected him. And so you know the rest of the story. So he wouldn't do it, and she had scorn for him and turned him over and said that told a lie on him, which was not true. And Joseph is a very good example for us. When those immortal thoughts and feelings come out, we should run, church. When temptation raises, we must recognize that we are no match for its power. Did you get that? Don't think that, well, I can just go chill out. I ain't going to do nothing wrong. We just talking. You know how many people start off just talking and then walking? It didn't happen like that. It happened like this. We started off as just friends. Listen to me. Don't start talking, and then you won't have to start walking. Oh, y'all aren't listening at me. Get upset with Connie when I had business friends that were females, and she would question me about them. Yeah, y'all get quiet. I'm getting ready to tell a story. And I didn't suspect nothing. I said, we're just friends. But you know, as I got wiser with her help.
Women know women.
Yeah, and that's right. That's what Connie said. It ain't you I don't trust, it's them. Y'all men hear that? We so stupid that we don't know. But our wives know. Can I get a witness? And sure enough, Connie's right. I got one that's still here. Once in a while I call here and I get the phone right to Connie. I ain't going in that trap. I just called to see how your business is working. Get off my life. Give me a break. Honey, listen to this. I handed the phone. You see, that comes from spiritual growth.
Amen.
You see, I'm going to run. I'm going to run. And it ain't because I'm afraid of Connie, but I am afraid of my Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And Connie. What did Kim say? Yeah. Listen at me. We must flee these things. It also means we must turn off the television and get back to books and put away magazines that lead us to impure thinking and discontent. Yeah, y'all might say, man, we got to make sure that we are living godly lives, church. Because heaven knows this world's not. So I think I've covered these amply, and I'm not going to elaborate any further. But I do want to touch briefly on rage. That's that boiling over with anger. You know, sometimes we get mad. We don't, you know, it's one thing to get mad, but it's another thing to get into a rage. Has anybody beside me been in a rage?
Amen.
This way you lose it all.
Amen.
And you know what I've learned to do by the grace of God is to try to get away. You ever notice when you get in a rage, the person keeps nagging? This is going to hit you one more time. Oh, y'all know what I'm talking about. You know what you got to do? Don't say another word. Take the last hit. Take the next one. Take the next one and go outside.
Amen.
Who woke up this morning in jail because they couldn't walk away.
Amen.
And they took all they can take, and then they start hitting or punching or shooting. And then it's all over. Walk away in Jesus' name. Can I get a witness?
Amen. Amen.
You see, we all know on this call that we still have that earthly body hidden back there. Christ is more powerful, and that's why I gave you the second text of the day. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear.
Amen.
When you are tempted, he will always provide a way out so that you can stand up against it.
Amen.
Don't let the devil tell you you got to act crazy and then go to jail, handcuffed in the back seat of a car, saying, oh, the devil got me.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't watch it, you got to call the same person you were going off on to come get you out of jail. It's happened more than one time, church. As I close this, I want to caution you about one other matter that I've already talked to you about, and that's language. You know, it's one thing when we cuss when we're angry, but it's another thing when we use filthy language in our day-to-day work and other relationships. There's no excuse for a Christian to use profanity. and even less excuse to have it as part of their daily vocabulary.
Amen.
I don't hear enough amens there.
Amen.
Amen.
You can't cuss and swear out of the same mouth. That's what helped me in my profanity. I can't bless you and cuss at the same time. And neither can you. And a lot of this does not apply to us at Word of God Church. I pray that these tapes go out all over the world. Watch your speech. Make your speech as palatable to God. And if you're that angry about something, or if you don't have the spiritual guidance to leave filthy language alone, pray and ask God to help you. It is not cool to cuss, I tell you. For our young people, I hear it all day long, these kids coming from school. Don't use language in the street that you don't use at home.
Amen.
When you can't communicate without using foul language, you got an intellectual problem. You can't express yourself with going into the pits of hell to come up with words. And I'm a witness. And if parents don't use profanity in their house, children in all likelihood won't use it. Y'all might as well say amen.
Amen.
Clean up your speech. So as I bring this to a conclusion, I hope you've taken this in the vein that it was given. See, Paul is talking to us about immorality, about impurity, about lust, and about evil desires and greed and angry and rage and malice and slander and filthy language. These are all powerful and enslaving emotions. They enslave you. I've learned something. You can cut somebody out and dog them after a while, then they start repeating it back on you. They'll use your own words right back on you.
Amen.
No one wins when you use profanity and when you do, you show anger. You set no example of godliness when you do these things. All you do is injure people, destroy people. I have words from when I was a child that still are ringing in my ears that were destroying words. They were words meant to tear me down. God is a good God, I tell you. For every word that was used against me, he has given me words that lift me up, that edify me. I might have been a foster child in this kingdom, but I'm a godly child in his kingdom. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
I might not have, did not have my mother, but I had my Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And when I didn't know it, somebody was praying for me. Somebody saw that I needed to be lifted up from the nervousness that I was when I married Connie, or she married me. I had to ask her 8 times before she married me. And then she had the nurse babysit me because I was a nervous wreck because of the way I was raised. Y'all listen at me as I bring this to a close. I don't believe anyone got whoopings like I got. Those weren't whoopings. Those were beatings.
Amen.
It was disgusting what I had to endure as a child due to my parents' ignorance and my mother's ignorance to give up her child and not knowing what happened to me. But I serve a good God. He knew that I needed nourishing and loving care. And he put Connie in my pathway. And no matter what else I say, I love Connie with all my heart, and I thank him for her. I had the nerve at some time in my life to think I was smarter than Connie. But I know God is a good God, church.
Amen.
Don't no one on this call let that devil tear you down and make you think you're not important. God will free you of all burdens.
Amen.
Amen. He'll let it all out to where you have nothing but him to look at.
Yes.
He'll take away your tears and give you peace, I tell you.
Amen.
We got to walk in a godly way. You can't walk in a way that's ungodly and expect for godly things to happen to you. So I'll close this by encouraging you to have a deep love for the Lord, that you will listen at the texts in the scriptures that give us the doctrine and then give us the practical side and apply that practical side to your life to let God know that you love him. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Deacon Edison, if you would lead us in prayer. Sister Freeman included Joseph. Deacon Edison comes, I want us to make sure that we keep Brother Joseph in our prayers as well as all of our military people.
Amen.
Includes the ones that are still in not in those areas. I used to have trouble when we honor part of our military, not all of us. Anybody who's serving in this man's Army and Navy and Air Force and Marines and Coast Guard needs our prayers. Amen.
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 Deacon Edison.
If you would turn with me to Proverbs chapter 10, beginning at verse 15. We all have to say amen. As it reads, the rich man's wealth is his only strength. A poor man's poverty is his only curse. A good man's earning advises the cause of righteousness. Oh, excuse me, by the way, I'm reading from the Living Bible.
All right.
A evil man's quarrelness is his sin. Verse 17, anyone willing to be corrected is on the pathway to life.
Amen.
Anyone refusing his lost his chance. To hate is to be a liar. To slander is to be a fool. Don't talk too much. You keep putting your foot into your mouth.
Well,
be sensible and turn off the flow. When a good man speaks, he is worth listening to. But the words of a fool are like a dime a dozen.
Amen.
I'm going to end there.
Amen.
May God have a blessing to reading his word.
Yes.
Bow our heads, please. Dear gracious Father, we thank you again for another blessed day. Thank you, dear Father, for allowing your servant, our bishop, our leader. Father, thank you for giving him your words to expound upon us. Now we ask, dear Lord, that you allow those words to feed our spirits.
Amen.
To penetrate our minds, to devour our hearts. Father, let us not just take this and not understand that it's not a mirror in which we look into and not understand, but to go deeper and to continue to utilize this day in and day out. But without this spiritual strength, this spiritual food, we're still lacking. So we take this, dear Lord, and say thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, dear Lord, for without you, we are nothing. But within you, Father, we're all things. Help us now, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Church, amen.
Amen.
As we prepare our hearts for communion, all those who are on the call, if you have your bread and your wine, we're still serving. Once we've served everyone here, we'll have prayer and offering of this communion. If you have your Bibles, if you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse reading verse 17. It deals with the conduct at the Lord's Supper. But in giving this instruction, I do not praise you because you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions exist among you, and in part I believe them. For there must also be a faction among you, so that those who are approved may become evident among you. Therefore, when you meet together, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in your eating, each one takes his own supper first, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have homes or houses in which to eat and to drink? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? In this I will not praise you. Let us pray. Father God, we ask now that you bless this bread and this wine, which represents the body and the blood of your Son Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Take it from its mundane earthly existence and sanctify it for your glory. Let us now commune together on the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, who died on Calvary's cross for our sins and the sins of the world. Father, we do pray for your mercy and we pray for your grace. We pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And after the supper, he took the cup and said, "This is my blood which was shared for the sins of the world. Let us commune together on the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ." Father, we pray that we will change our ways, that we will follow your mandates and practically carry out your will. We pray that in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Trustee Reeves, if you would give us an offertory, we'll bring this to a close.
We collected $20 last Sunday, and so our total for February was $618.
Amen. Can the church say amen?
Amen.
Let us pray over the offering that we have today. Amen. Father God, we ask that you bless the offering that we've already received and the one we're receiving today, that it will be used for the uplifting of your kingdom. We pray blessings on each one who gave and ones who had not to give. We pray that it will always be used for your glory and your honor. For we pray these and all other blessings in Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
The church say amen.
Amen.
God bless y'all. We've come to the end of another journey, a little longer than I thought, but God is good. Amen.
Amen.
Take the name of Jesus with you. Invite someone to our Bible study, and you should have the church's the sermon on the website either this evening or first thing in the morning. God bless you all. I love you.
God bless you also, all of you.
Love you.
God bless.
Bye.
Love y'all. Bye-bye.